Hi, this is Joyce from America Speaks, the voice of Joyce. I'm going to speak today about why I believe in an all-inclusive tent. And what does that mean? What does it mean to me? So that you'll understand what I think about people and humanity. I'm a people person. I've always been a people person, and I've learned tolerance from my folks who were a great role model. It's part of my DNA, just like serving my country is part of my DNA, and love of Israel is also part of my DNA. Let me explain. An all-inclusive tent to me means thinking about everyone in our city. We have 165 nationalities in New York City, and somehow we all get along. I would think at least 20 nationalities pass through my dad's floor contracting shop. From 1948 on, my dad had a union shop and employed union laborers to do hardwood flooring on Long Island and in the tri-state area. At one point, he was as big as Estee Lauder, though he never made as much money as they have. But he was pretty well known as Ace Hardwood Flooring Company. He did the 18,000 homes of Levittown, with labor from Lithuania, Albania, Norway. Those were the first groups or waves of immigrants to pass through Papa's shop. The second group was the Italians and the Jamaicans, and I remember their names to this day. I can still see, though his name is the same as a great composer, his name was Aaron Copland, and I remember him. They built my dad's basement for him with upholstered seating and a bar, and I remember they were invited on weekends to come and have parties in my dad's home. So this was a place of refuge for a lot of people. I didn't come into the family business until the late 80s, after Bankers Trust. When I did come in, I became the sole owner in 1992, and I had many nationalities working for me then. And the African Americans were still installing hardwood flooring. I had a second group as well from Turkey, a Muslim group, and it was funny because neither one of us wanted to say to the other what religion we belonged to. And for almost 9 months, even though both of us knew I was Jewish and he was Muslim, and his group, his whole family who worked for him were Muslim as well, we said nothing. Until one day we realized it was a holiday and we exchanged gifts with each other. I had evangelicals working for me. I had a Christmas tree every Christmas because my bookkeeper office manager was evangelical, and it was important for her to have a Christmas celebration, a Christmas party where everyone came. We had Hispanics. Foreman for 25 years was Hispanic. I had the Irish work for me. It didn't matter. What mattered only is that we got along, that we respected each other, and being who I am, I paid my labor very well. And I paid them within a week of them having done the job. It was something that you did. Labor worked for you, you paid them. But we weren't just boss an employee. I felt responsible for them, and many of us became friends afterwards when I closed my business in 2013, and we remain friends to this day. That's why I liked business. I became friends with my customers, I became friends with my employees, and it taught me not to judge, to be tolerant of others. Not all Jewish, they don't have my background, and it really doesn't matter, we get along. I did mention earlier that I have a love of Israel, and that too was passed on by my parents. My dad would have gone to fight for the state of Israel in 1948 if he could, but he had to set up a business and work. Instead, just like the Irish who came later, he collected guns in our home, and I remember the crates of guns. How they came to our home, I have no idea. How they were shipped to the state of Israel, I don't know. But I do know that for us, there was nothing more important than the state of Israel. And my first trip to Israel was in 1979, when I offered my son the opportunity of having a party or traveling to Israel for his bar mitzvah, and he chose Israel. By that time, my mentor for my master's degree had already made Aliyah, which is she had already gone back to the state of Israel with her husband and was working on Technion. And at Technion, she was a scientist in the medical department. And I guess my love of Technion continued from 1979 onward. Because I feel so strongly about science and people and understanding and not ostracizing or criticizing others, I became involved in Technion over the last 5 years and pledged to support a young modern Orthodox child towards matriculation at the Technion University. I'm a strong supporter of science and scientific knowledge. So for me, inclusivity is everybody and anybody. My best friends come from many parts of the globe, and I think about them often. I connect with my friends in Massachusetts who are part of the Black leadership of this country. I connect with friends in St. Louis and here in New York City who are part of the Daughters of the American Revolution. We're all the same. We all want the same things for our children and our children's children. A good life, the ability to be educated, to have health care for all of us, and to be able to connect with others and enjoy a quality of life that existed for so many people for so long. As we continue to go through the 21st century, it's going to become a necessity for all of us to pull together people within our nation and people around the globe, because we have an urgent problem to solve. We've got to lower carbon emissions, or the next generation will not be able to survive. We will not have food and we will not have water. So I think that the quicker we decide that we're going to be tolerant of each other and kind of get that back, that old American spirit that we have, which is we can do anything when we put our mind to it. We have before. We did it with space. We did it when we had to enter World War II. And we can do it again. I have this tremendous love of country as well. 3 generations of my family served in the U.S. military. My grandson is serving now. And so I don't think that there is any difference amongst us. And I wish I could convey that to all of you, that to look at your neighbor and say, how can we help? How can we all be part of the solution? It's happening today in a lot of areas, right under our noses. People are becoming food insufficient, and it's just not in the urban areas. In rural areas, people don't have groceries to go to, and so they're forming community shops, and we call it co-ops, they call it community shops. It's the same, but it's something that is required so that people can live and survive and be sustained in a decent way of life. So I hope that I've told you a little about myself, a little about what motivates me, what I'm passionate about, why I'm passionate about it, and then we can launch into the politics that confront us or the issues that are important to all of us. Next week, I'm not going to be here, though I will do a podcast and a video on what I've learned. I'm going to Detroit, Michigan, back to a portion of my roots, and I'm going to be at the Ford Foundation's conference on the future of labor. There's nothing more important than people being productive and feeling valued. Take care, everyone, and have a great day. If you wish to reach me and comment or make suggestions, please contact me at thevoiceofjoyce@earthlink.net. Thank you for listening.